to help us to commence his worship by singing hymn number 966. Happy are they to whom the Lord his gracious name makes known, and by his Spirit and his word adopts them for his own. Hymn 966. The book of Judges in chapter 13, the 13th chapter in the book of Judges. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. And there was a certain man of Zorah, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman, and said unto her, Behold, now thou art barren, and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the woman came and told her husband, saying, A man of God came unto me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God, very terrible. But I asked him not whence he was, neither told me his name. But he said unto me, Behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son. And now drink no wine, nor strong drink, neither eat any unclean thing. For the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death. Then Manoah entreated the Lord and said, O my Lord, let the man of God which thou didst send come again unto us and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born. God hearkened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came again unto the woman as she sat in the field. But Manoah, her husband, was not with her. And the woman made haste and ran and showed her husband and said unto him, Behold, the man hath appeared unto me that came unto me the other day. And Manoah arose and went after his wife and came to the man and said unto him, Art thou the man that spakest unto the woman? And he said, I am. And Manoah said, Now let thy words come to pass. How shall we order the child? And how shall we do unto him? And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, Of all that I said unto the woman, let her beware. She may not eat of anything that cometh of the vine, neither let her drink wine or strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing. All that I commanded her, let her observe. Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, I pray thee, let us detain thee until we shall have made ready a kid for thee. And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, Though thou detain me, I will not eat of thy bread. And if thou wilt offer a burnt offering, thou must offer it unto the Lord. For Manoah knew not that he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, What is thy name? That when thy sayings come to pass, we may do thee honor. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, Why askest thou thus after my name, seeing it is secret? So Manoah took a kid with a meat offering and offered it upon a rock unto the Lord. And the angel did wondrously, and Manoah and his wife looked on. For it came to pass when the flame went up toward heaven from off the altar, that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. And Manoah and his wife looked on and fell on their faces to the ground. But the angel of the Lord did no more appear to Manoah and to his wife. Then Manoah knew that he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said unto his wife, We shall surely die, because we have seen God. But his wife said unto him, If the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would not have received a burnt offering and a meat offering at our hands, neither would he have showed us all these things, nor would, as at this time, have told us such things as these. And the woman bare a son, and called his name Samson. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him, And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. May the Lord bless unto us the reading of his holy word and help us at the throne of grace. O righteous, just and holy God, we would now draw nigh unto thee, and we would do so, Lord, with that measure of understanding, that we come to thee, whose eyes as a flame of fire do search the hearts. And, O Lord, we would pray that thou wilt truly search us, that thou, O God, wilt search us and try us, and see if there be any wicked way in us, and lead us in the way everlasting. O Lord, we feel to need that so much, for we feel so much, Lord, there is in us something of that wicked way, the way of the flesh, our own way, or that proud way. O Lord, we pray that thou wilt then have mercy and help us this night to come and to bow low at thy feet. And O, we do pray it may please thee now, Lord, to direct all our hearts into that truth which is in Jesus Christ, that truth which is of Christ. Oh, that we may know the truth that shall make us free. Oh, bless us then, we pray. And oh, make known to us as well something of that eternal covenant and the counsels of God, in all the blessings that are found therein, the surety that's there. And oh, Lord, grant that by precious faith we may be able to believe on the Son of God. Oh, we do pray, Lord, that thou wilt so reveal thyself unto us that we can believe on thee. That thou wilt come, Lord, and discover thyself. Oh, thou knowest, Lord, oh, how we long. We trust, Lord, there are those who do long for that revelation, for some clear manifestation of Christ unto their own soul. Nothing else, Lord, can really satisfy. And at times, Lord, oh, we are sorely tried. Oh, that last, Lord, we should come short of that. Oh, then come, Lord, to us and help. And oh, that thou wilt yet, Lord, lift us up and draw us away. Oh, Lord, command that deliverance for us. And make known to us now, Lord, that thou hast had thoughts of peace toward us and not of evil. Oh, how we long, Lord, to know that we are then secure in that bound of the covenant, those eternal bonds. And, oh, that thou wilt show to us, Lord, that thou indeed art the security itself. Oh, bless us now. But, oh, we do come this night praying that thou wilt remove now all the cares and the activities, the concerns, the pressing matters of the day. These things, Lord, which at times seem so strong, and they have such a stranglehold upon us. Oh, we cannot break them of ourselves. We cannot set ourselves free. But, Lord, thou canst but speak a word, and our heart shall fly up and be drawn away. Oh, that thou wilt be pleased, Lord, then to come. Oh, thou canst but, Lord, but give, Lord, some sweet sense of thy nearness. And that, Lord, shall break all these chains that fetter us so and hinder us. Oh, we long, Lord, that we may yet be favoured to soar up on those wings of eagles. Oh, thou hast promised to thy people that they shall mount up. Oh, Lord, we long for some mounting up. When we indeed, Lord, shall be brought upward and brought away from the dunghills, that we might be brought away from the flesh parts. Oh, thou knowest, Lord, how much we grovel around them. Oh, help us then. And we do pray that tonight, Lord, there might be something of that name of Jesus. A name so precious, a name so high, a name so dear, a name beyond all others. Oh, that there might be something of that name made manifest in our midst. Oh, come, Lord, and do it for thy name's sake. And oh, we do pray, Lord, that tonight there may be those here who shall feel something of that attraction in thy name. Oh, that that wonderful experience of the bride who declared thy name is as ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. And surely, Lord, we believe that name was poured forth at Calvary. Oh, what a pouring out of it there is there. Oh, the wonder of it, the fullness of it. And Lord, we pray that we might be favored by faith to truly come and find that we have a place there, a place and a name. That there, O God, we may see something of the glory of God, the goodness of God, the love of God, the everlasting kindness of God. Oh, make Calvary, Lord, to us, or our all in all. May we be found, Lord, dwelling in its shadows. Oh, bless us, we pray. Oh, how we need, Lord, thee to come in that way then, and to cast out all the buyers and sellers. Oh, Lord, cleanse our temples, our hearts, and make it a fit dwelling for thee. Oh, may it be a place where the Lord is pleased to come, where he holds his throne, where he oft times may convey some favor to us. Oh, Lord, come to us then, we pray. May we be blessed with the Spirit of God dwelling within, to feel, Lord, that help of the Spirit and divine unction, to feel our souls at times stirred and drawn out, to feel indeed, Lord, our hearts lifted up in prayer, earnest, fervent prayer. Oh, Lord, help us in this. But, oh, may we feel oft, Lord, that spirit of repentance, of true godly sorrow, a confession of our sins. Oh, Lord, we would come to be cleansed, to be washed, to be renewed, to be revived. Oh, that thou wilt then, Lord, help us, hear us indeed. Oh, remember, Lord, each one. We think of the younger ones, the little ones, each of them, Lord. Oh, Lord, thou knowest our desires for them each. Oh, thou knowest, Lord, how as we enter thy house this evening, hearing the cry of a little one, oh, we long, Lord, that there might be many a cry, a spiritual cry, a heavenly cry, that cry which shall move the heart of God. Oh, Lord, may there be those bleedings of the lambs in our midst. Oh, hear us then. Remember young, those in middle age, those in old age. At each step of life, Lord, we are dependent upon thee. And truly, Lord, as we go on, we are more dependent. Increasingly so. Oh, may we be enabled, Lord, to lean harder upon thee still. Oh, we do pray that thou wilt yet also be pleased to draw souls by the bands of love, the cords of a man, by the word of God. Draw them, Lord, by that love. Oh, make known to them something of that eternal covenant ordered in all things and sure. Oh, that thou wilt help, Lord. Remember those with trials. Those, Lord, who find the way is hard, who feel at times, Lord, that they have come to their wit's end. They feel at times, Lord, that they are brought to a standstill. They know not what to do. They know not where to go. Yet, Lord, may they be helped to look up and to call upon the name of God still and to wrestle with Thee. Oh, Lord, give that grace. And do, Lord, direct all the way. Make the crooked things straight. Make those rough places smooth. Cause the mountains to flow down. Oh, Lord, we pray that Thou wilt make that way through the wilderness. And oh, may it be, Lord, that Thou wilt teach each then to truly cast their care upon Thee. Oh, we do pray that Thou wilt yet remember Zion in all her need, and send out Thy labourers, Lord. Oh, may there be those who are called, taught, sent forth by in the Spirit. Oh, may it be that there are those of whom we have read in Thy word, like Barnabas and Saul, separate them unto Me for that work of the ministry. Oh, Lord, we pray that Thou wilt do this. The need is so great. Hear us, Lord, in this, and help us still. We would not give Thee rest, Lord. Oh, that Thou wilt then arise. Stir up Thyself. Stretch out Thine arm. Oh, work, Lord. May it be, Lord, that we may look on while the angel does wondrously. Oh, hear us now in this. Well, we do pray, Lord, that Thou wilt remember such tonight who may have a solemn temptation, who may feel, Lord, to be at the ends of the earth, who may feel, Lord, to have fallen down. Oh, Thou knowest, Lord, that path. Thou knowest those in it. Then, oh, have mercy upon them. So we ask, Lord, Thy help. Hold Thou us up. And do, Lord, pour out the Spirit of God. And give, Lord, light and understanding. Oh, teach us, Lord. Shine upon us. Shine upon the Word. Shine into our souls. Enlighten our darkness. Oh, come, we pray. And do now, Lord, accept our thank offerings for the mercies, provisions, comforts, for all Thy care. We thank Thee for the Word of God. We thank Thee for the testimony, the sure testimony. We do thank Thee, Lord, for that divine person, for Emmanuel, God with us. Oh, that Thou wilt then hear us now in His name. And accept us in and through that precious blood. For Christ's sake we ask. Amen. Let's continue by singing hymn number 557. 557. How sweet and precious is the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord, the Lamb, to sinners in distress. A name just suited to their case, pregnant with mercy, truth, and grace, with strength and righteousness. Hymn number 557. gracious help. I direct your thoughts this evening, hour, to the book of Judges, chapter 13, and reading the 17th verse. Judges 13, the 17th verse. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, "What is thy name, that when thy sayings come to pass, we may do thee honor?" And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, "What is thy name, that when thy sayings come to pass, we may do thee honor?" And the desire of Manoah in seeking after something of that name, the knowledge of it, is something of the experience of all those who are taught of God. They long to know something of that name. They long to experience the blessing of it. That name which is above every name. Oh, how they long that they may have some revelation of it. And if there be those here tonight, and you feel that you come so short respecting that name, the name of God, that name of His Son. We read in one part of God's Word, "What is His name? What is His Son's name, if thou canst tell?" Oh, this is that longing desire then of a soul that's taught of God. But as we see it being manifest in our text this evening, it is wonderful to behold that which indeed brought it forth, brought out something of this question of Manoah. And you say, dear friend, it will be the same with you and I. If we're to learn something of that name, there will be those things which we will pass through. There will be things which we will have to learn from, whereby we will learn something of that name. It is a name that must be learnt in the fires, in trials, in deliverances, in these many ways that the Lord will take with His people. Well, as we consider this evening then something of that, we see in the case of Manoah and his wife and the Israelites at that time that it was a very dark day, exceeding dark, a very distressing day. It was a time of great fear and anxiety. A time of great oppression. Israel was guilty of national sin. And that sin was committing evil against the Lord, forgetting the Lord, turning from Him. Oh, the Lord had shown unto them that way that they must go. But Israel kept turning away. And the Lord, He would send the enemies against them to humble them, to chasten, to correct, and to bring them back. But they never seemed to learn for very long. And what a picture they make of us. And those who are taught of God will have to confess it. We seem so quick to forget the lessons. Oh, the hardness of the heart. Oh, our rebellious wills. Oh, if ever they're humbled, doesn't seem for very long. And they start working again. Well, we find here that they did evil again in verse 1 of the chapter. Again. That word again happened so many times before, it would happen many times yet after. They did evil again. But oh dear, so what about you this night? Do you not have to say, Lord, I've done evil again? Oh, when you come to the end of the day, when you come to the end of the week, and you would try to take some stock and to recall and recount, must that not be in the same word? I've done evil again. And then too, it was said that was in the sight of the Lord. The Lord saw it all. The Lord marked it. Oh, these times when God marks our sin. That too, dear friends, should greatly humble us, search us, teach us, and enable us to pray. Oh, it's all in God's sight. Think of all the things that we do, the things that we say. Hidden from many men, but all in God's sight. Oh, that we may know, as David confessed, Lord, even in the night, and under cover of darkness, Thou, God, seest. But now, oh, that it was such a time for God delivered them up to their enemies. This time it was the Philistines. But it wasn't just that they were delivered up. It was for 40 years. A long time. The whole of the wilderness journey. Mark how many times there was a 40-year period in their history. That which God began to teach them in that 40 years journey. You see, the Lord works from that all the way through. And they have these 40-year periods. It is very striking to pay close attention to examine that. God set the pattern and He works by it. And so He does. And if the Lord has a work to do in any soul, He begins to set a pattern. And that's all right from the beginning. And He will work according to it through. But these 40 years, oh, how they truly brought Israel very low into poverty. You remember how it was when they were under the control of the Midianites, and they were reduced to such extreme poverty. And now also with the Philistines. Oh, the Lord, if and He knows how to humble His people. He has His instruments. He has His servants. The ungodly. That's who He uses. So much of the time. Oh, it's something that surely should humble the hearts of His people. When the Lord raises up the ungodly to have dominion over them. Oh, these national sins. And really we should even draw that lesson from it for ourselves. Let us not think for a moment that because we do not commit some of these dreadful sins that are taking place in our country and being promoted and being excused, that we are not guilty. The Lord will judge the sins, and He will judge all the people with it. But oh, as we consider here this thing that God has done, here Manoah and his wife, these godly people, and they were godly. Make no mistake about that. They feared God. They loved God. Oh, they worshipped God. though many of their own people came so short, they held fast. They were steadfast and unmovable in that. Oh, the wonderful cases that we have in God's Word of these souls who manifested something of that grace in such dark and awful times. Oh, to behold it even in the present day, when there is such a solemn falling away, the Lord still will have a remnant who fear and worship Him and seek His will and endeavor to walk in His light. Well, these two did. And yet, it didn't exempt them from trials. Trials which went beyond what the nation had. And so often it does with those that fear God. The Lord, when He punishes the nation, His people suffer under it. But then there are other things that they have to endure still beyond, as it was in the case of Manoah and his wife. For we are told that she was barren. A certain man of Zorah, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. Now that was their trial. A trial that wasn't unfamiliar with many that feared God. Jacob had it with his wife Rebekah, who was kept barren for a time. Abraham had it with his Sarah for such a long time. Isaac, in a way, had it. He and Rebekah had but the two sons, and that was all. Barren the rest. Oh, dear friend, see these trials that God brings upon them. Following these days of judges would come that day of Samuel when Hannah was barren. And so many more too. This was a trial indeed. Oh, this personal trial, a path which was peculiarly theirs. The Lord had led them in it. They couldn't get it out. Nothing they could do could in any way bring some deliverance. Oh, how often the Lord brings one of His own, one of His dear ones, into those places where they cannot deliver themselves. And the trial is very heavy. Perhaps there are those tonight, and you're in those places where it's so heavy, troublesome, it's a real burden. The Lord has brought it. Oh, He's made them barren. And no different, do you feel that tonight? You've been made barren in that way. And oh, then, you see, when that was made manifest, and we're not told how old they were, it is generally thought they were going on in years, but we leave that. It is very clear, though, from the teaching of the Scripture here, that they had been married for some time and were barren. But now, the angel of God. That angel of God comes down. And as I was meditating on the whole chapter this afternoon, I couldn't help but think of Monday evening and the case of Cornelius, when there was so much that was yet wanting in that man's teaching, his knowledge, his experience. Oh, what he had was wonderful. The things he had been shown already were exceeding great, but yet there was so much more that he knew not, that he was completely in the dark over. And so here's Manoah and his wife, godly as they are, but they do not truly perceive the nature of this angel that comes. The scriptures tell us here it was the angel. They didn't know it. And that would be clear from the various things that takes place and how they react. They could not yet perceive. Eyes were withholden. Oh, dear friend, when the Lord goes to work, though how little does a poor sinner see, it is the Lord. When the Lord begins to make one barren, when he begins to shut one up, when he begins to cut things off, it is the Lord. Oh, we can't see that. We find ourselves to be learners yet, and slow learners too, in these ways of God. Oh, dear friend, whether we be young or old tonight, there is something of this pathway, this experience that we must come into, we will be brought into by the Lord's teaching. Oh, but the angel of the Lord came. Whatever they lacked in understanding, yet it didn't hinder the angel of God coming. Oh, when that angel of the Lord appeared to the woman. See, different how he speaks unto her. What a different way. When that angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, what was the word of you? The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. That was the introduction there. It's not here. Here again, dear friend, we see how the Lord takes his ways so different with each of his people. What does he say to the woman? He doesn't say, behold, thou art blessed. No, she was. No. His first word to her is a reminder to her of her state. The angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said, behold, now thou art barren. Dear friend, she didn't need to be told that. Ah, but she did. Oh, this is the first word of the angel to her. Thou art barren and bearest not. As if he would come to make her bitterness even bitter still. The bitter waters of Meribah become bitter before they're made sweet. But oh, dear friend, there was that word that he would have for her. Thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Oh, there was a sure word here. A very precious promise. That now God brings down into her heart. And more than that, oh, he tells her that that son of hers would be one of those most favored in Israel. He would have the vow of the Nazarite. Now all the Israelites knew what the vow of the Nazarite was. There were so few among them who had it, who took it. It was a great honor to be one of those who would take that vow of the Nazarite. One might say there was no higher honor in all Israel. Oh, when I think again of what was said here of Samson, we are reminded of Zacharias and Elizabeth, his wife, when they're told that they would have a son. He wouldn't have the vow of the Nazarite necessarily, but he would go before the highest. He would be the messenger of the Lord himself, his forerunner. Ah, now she's told that he shall be a Nazarite. And she too must be very careful. She must be watching. She must deny herself anything that would be of strong drink, anything that was unclean. Oh, so careful they must be. Oh, what a lesson here for those who are called by grace and taught of the Lord. Oh, there's a vow of a Nazarite in essence upon them. Oh, that we might be helped to consider. Beware, I pray thee. Oh, defend that word, beware. She must now take great caution. She must give all heed to all that she does and all that she would receive. A Nazarite to God. Oh, different, what a privilege. The child should be a Nazarite unto God. Now, wasn't that Manoah and his wife would make him so? Nor was it that that child would make himself so. This is the Lord's doing. And it is marvelous in our eyes then. And so it is still today. Oh, if I think of it, if there be any here, from even our youth, who shall be one of those Nazarites unto God, one of those heirs of God, one of those who worship God, they shall be so. Well, now, we want to see something of that faith. Oh, what a precious faith was manifested here in these two. When this word came to them, first of in the woman, she believed. She believed the saying of that man. She called him a man of God. For she immediately goes to her husband to tell him what had happened. She came saying, a man of God came unto me. See, they're different. She didn't see the angel yet. She didn't perceive who he really was. God, so it is with those who are taught of God. Oh, in those beginning days, in those early years, they cannot see yet fully who it is. They believe those things which take place. They believe the word that might be spoken. But to see who it is that's done it, that they cannot grasp yet. A man of God came unto me. She could describe his countenance. His countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God. She would come to know it, that it was an angel of God. It was the angel of the covenant. It was the uncreated angel. It was that one, second son, person of the Trinity, who makes his appearance in the form of an angel. He did so to Joshua. He did so to Moses. He did so to Gideon. All these appearances that he makes in Old Testament time. But oh, if and they begin to believe, that's the mark of real faith. She told her husband, and her husband believed, because we read that he then prayed. He begged of God, entreated him. Oh, you see, this is the mark of faith, dear friend. Here's another aspect of it. It's one thing is believing, but now there's a seeking. And what were they seeking? They were seeking that man might return again. And so Manoah entreated the Lord and said, O Lord, let the man of God which thou didst send, come again unto us and teach us what we shall do unto the child. Oh, they believed there would be a child. And you see, different, this is that marking, the real mark of faith. When there's everything against what is said, when there's everything against the appearances of what is expected, that then to believe, that is the mark of real faith. It laughs at impossibilities and says it shall be done. That's where they came. Oh, it would be done. It would be done. God himself would do it. Oh, defend their faith in God was so strong in that. Say, really, Manoah and his wife, they stood strong when Sarah did not. Do you remember at the first how that she mocked? She laughed. Yes, by faith she did conceive. And really in the same way, so it was with Manoah's wife. It could be said of her what was said of Sarah in Hebrews 11. By faith Sarah herself received strength and conceived seed and brought forth the child. Now it is so with Manoah's wife. Oh, this faith of God in the heart. And that seeking now. Oh, they seek direction. They seek understanding. They seek wisdom. Oh, that was sought here. When they asked the Lord that the man of God might come and teach them more what they should do. And oh, you see too, he made this entreaty. But that faith also was manifested in due course by the offering that they would offer up. But see too again how that faith was proven to be real, because God answered. God hearkened to the voice of Manoah. Oh, dear friend, that is the clearest proof of real faith. More than anything else, when God hearkens to the voice. Ah, that may be where some stumble, where some say, well, then I'm sure the outside. Oh, dear friend, you wait on God. You keep praying. You see what God does. And how God will yet hear. How many a time his people have cried and prayed and sought and wrestled and begged and gone again. And finally the Lord, he did appear. The Lord answered their request. Ah, no. Now their favor to have that visitor come. And Manoah, he questions now what they must do. And the angel repeats everything he told the woman. As if he would say to Manoah, this is what she must do. Now see to it that you don't interfere. That you don't hinder. That she is able to do all that I've commanded. You see, dear friend, that's what's needed too. When the Lord directs, when the Lord gives order, when the Lord guides, when there are those who might be affected by it, they need that grace not to interfere, not to stand against or hinder. What a lesson there is in that. Another mark of faith was the offering they made. Let us, I pray thee, detain thee till we made ready a kid. Now you see, dear friend, here the angel of the Lord began to fully instruct them. I may not eat of your offering. Why couldn't he? He ate of Abraham's offering. He ate of Gideon's offering. Why couldn't he eat of Manoah's offering? It was because Manoah did not see clearly who he was. Oh, what a lesson there is in that. What teaching for us. Until the offering was offered right, until there was that clear knowledge of who it was that was before them, he could not eat. Oh, this now, dear friend, should search us out. Are there those times when the Lord doesn't seem to come near, doesn't seem to sit down, doesn't seem to, as it were, commune with us? Oh, there's something wanting in our knowledge, in our experience, in that faith that we have. That something that must be yet made stronger, must be made clearer. This is what it was here now. If thou make an offering, the angel tells him, thou must make it unto God. Oh, they had to come up above their view of him as a man of God. He was much more than that. He was God himself. Thou must make the offering unto God. Manoah knew not that he was an angel of the Lord. He was the angel. Oh, think their soul, what they had, and yet what they missed. They had the God of heaven before them, and yet did not see it. Did not realize. Oh, the great blessing, so near, the privilege, so sacred. They wouldn't come to the knowledge of it until he was gone. Sort of like the bride in the Song of Solomon. It wasn't until after her beloved left that she realized the opportunity she had and missed. So what was Manoah and his wife now? Oh, but they offered then. Oh, but now Manoah comes to the angel. What is thy name? Oh, the dear man was greatly wondering now who it was that stood before him. What is thy name? That when thy sayings come to pass, we may do thee honor. Dear friend, that's another mark of faith. It is to honor the mighty God, to honor him who performs, who works, who brings to pass. Oh, to have faith like that, that we may do thee honor. Oh, you know, different this again is where the Lord receives so little of that honor that is due unto his name. Oh, to really give honor. One is said, well, how can we honor? Well, we honor by humbling ourselves before him. We honor by giving of our substance. We honor by obeying. Oh, there are these many ways to honor him. What is thy name? Remember that there was another one who asked that question. Manoah, in essence, proved that he was a prince of Israel. He was one of those. He was truly one of those sons of Jacob. You go back to Genesis 32, when Jacob was wrestling with that angel. At the time, he feared his brother. Oh, he asked him, "What is thy name?" And the angel said, "Wherefore askest thou after my name?" And he blessed him there. "Oh, what is thy name?" This is the great question with many. This name of God. Well, first, dear friend, the Lord here answers, "Wherefore askest thou after, why askest thou after my name?" Seeing it is secret. In the margin, of course, it is wonderful. Oh, dear friend, how wonderful is his name. How and why? Because he is wonderful. His name only describes what he is. And every name that's given to him describes what he is. So often men may receive names, but it doesn't really describe what they are. They may, in essence, act completely contrary to what their name may mean. But every name of Jesus, every name that's ascribed to him, dear friend, it describes what he is. And what he has made unto his dear people. Oh, this name. We read in the prophecy of Isaiah, there's a very solemn word there in that prophecy of Isaiah. I've not really noticed it much before until looking it up this afternoon. But in that prophecy, we have this word, "Behold, the name of the Lord cometh from far, burning with his anger, and the burden thereof is heavy. His lips are full of indignation, and his tongue as a devouring fire." But all those things describe that name of the Lord that cometh from far. No, dear friend, when that name comes in that way, it is a heavy burden. Heavy for poor sinners. Who can bear it? His breath is as the overflowing stream, shall reach to the midst of the neck, to sift the nations with the sieve of vanity. And there shall be a bridle in the jaws of the people, causing them to, oh, that name of the Lord in that solemn way. Oh, but then, when we think of this name of the Lord, we go back to when it was first described to Israel. You know, different that is always important to examine well the first time it's really set forth and described to any people. In the book of Exodus, we have it first brought before us in the 23rd chapter there, where the Lord speaks now. "Behold, I send an angel before thee." That angel who appeared unto Manoah and his wife, "I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way, to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions." Now what's next? "For my name is in him." Think of that word again. Beware of him. Obey his voice. Do all that I speak. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions. For my name is in him. What is thy name? Oh, that name. But that name, it was manifested further on in that book of Exodus to Moses when he was in the mount. And he had that wonderful revelation of God. For the Lord speaks there. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. And will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he went on in the next chapter to declare further that name of the Lord. The name of the Lord is merciful, gracious, long-suffering, abundant in goodness and mercies. Oh, this name of the Lord. How wonderful it is. This is that angel that appears now unto Manoah and his wife. Oh, that name that he makes known. Oh, but think of it so. That name. The name of God. It is that name which the Lord speaks. I have given him a name which is above every name. Oh, that name is wonderful. When it's high above. Oh, but is that name not wonderful when it's loved? So, have you ever come into the place where your heart has been melted down in love to that name? Oh, how wonderful it is then. Have you ever come to the place where your hopes are truly built up and placed upon that name? That's a name that's wonderful then. Oh, different have there been times when you have found something of that name in your darkest hours, your heaviest moments, that name has come such a support, such comfort. Oh, that name is wonderful. At such times, oh, when we think of the gifts that we receive by that name, the graces that come, oh, by that name. Oh, what a precious name it is that God has given unto his dear Son, made known for to his people. Oh, it's a name, dear friend, that the Father loves. We sometimes sing that hymn, this is the name the Father loves, to hear his children plead, and all such pleading he approves, and blesses them indeed. But you know, when we think of this name, we find that in the book of the Psalms, David refers to it many times. Something of this name. David had learnt something of this name in all its value. That I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. Oh, different, that is what he sought to do. That the wondrous works of God. That was what manifested his name. Glorified that name. David again, a few chapters later, in Psalm 71. Oh God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Oh, he was declaring the wondrous name. When he declared those works, that name which was made so dear unto him and so precious, in Psalm 75, he again speaks, unto thee, O God, do we give thanks, unto thee do we give thanks, for that thy name is near, thy wondrous works declare. Oh, dear friend, to see something of those wondrous works of God. It declares that his name is near. He is near. Have you perceived something of those wondrous works? What about that work of grace? Oh, different, has there been something of that work the Lord has taught your heart to fear? It's a declaration that his name is near. Oh, you say, if only I could feel that then. Oh, dear soul. Whether you feel it or not is not the point. Because of those works, it's near. How clear David is in his teaching there. Oh, when we have something of that work of Christ and the atonement, when that is brought nigh to the soul, when we see by faith something of the glory of the atonement, his name is near. What a wondrous work that is. What work is there that can exceed that even? Oh, we have the works of creation, we have the works of providence, we could go on with all these other works, but that work of atonement, oh, when that is seen, he is near. Oh, that work, let me put it this way this evening, that work of restoring his people. Oh, when he receives poor sinners, that work. What a work it is. It declares that his name is near. When he takes a denying Peter and meets with him again and raises him up, that work. Oh, David, what a precious work of reviving is manifested there. Oh, what is thy name? It is wonderful. And surely, David, if we would go on tonight, oh, the innumerable things what one must then mention of that work of God. In the ways for his people, in all that he's accomplished, in all that he performs, in all the blessings that he grants. But oh, defend that work of raising them up. When he raises them from their graves, when he raises them up from those places where they have sat down, amongst, shall we say, the carnal world again, and then in that great day when he will raise him ultimately up to himself, oh, that great work, it will all declare his wondrous name. Well, dear friend, what about that name of Almighty, the Almighty God, the Everlasting Father? Oh, this is his wondrous work and name. What is thy name? That when thy sayings come to pass, we may do thee honour. Well, dear friend, thy word, they did do him honour. His saying did come to pass. What a work that was, to quicken that barren womb of his wife, that dead womb. Surely his name was near. Well, may God direct his word this evening. Oh, there's wherever there's that need, and oh, may he give understanding. Oh, that he may teach us something of this wonderful truth. You know, Defan, he proved himself wonderfully when in that offering, that as the fire ascended up, the angel, we read this, he did wondrously. The angel did wondrously. Now, we're not told what he did in those flames. We're not told anything particular, except that he did wondrously. But it was such that when Manoah and his wife looked on, and twice we read, did you notice that in our reading tonight? And Manoah and his wife looked on. And Manoah and his wife looked on. twice over. Oh, their eyes were fastened and steadfast on the angel. Oh, different that when he's wonderful. When our eyes are fixed on him. And as he ascended up, there must have been something wonderful he did then. I dare not say what could have been. That would only be presuming. But one thing I do know, it had such an effect upon Manoah and his wife. Manoah especially. Because he now speaks, we shall surely die because we have seen God. No more man of God. We have seen God. Blessed be his wife that her faith rose stronger than his at that time. If God were pleased to kill us, would he have showing us all these things and receive the offering at our hand. Oh, may God give us to receive the instruction of his word here for his name's sake. Let's continue now by singing hymn number 1024. Oh, for a heart to please the Lord. A heart from sin set free, a heart that's sprinkled with the blood so freely shed for me. Thy nature, gracious Lord, impart, come quickly from above. Write thy new name upon my heart, thy new best name of love. Hymn 1024. do pray that thou wilt now grant thy blessing upon thy word, and pardon all thou hast seen amiss. Take us each unto our homes in peace, and may the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Ghost abide with us. Amen.